Production support for Earth Eats comes from Urgent Foods, a locally owned food truck offering gourmet choices for all lifestyles, tastes, and diets. From gluten-free to kosher and halal. Food for everyone, everywhere. Full menu and truck location available at urgentfoods.com. Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent and owner of Personal Financial Services, providing tax preparation for individuals and businesses. Located on the Beeline Trail. More information at personalfinancialservices.net. And Need More Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world. On the east side of Bloomington, corner of Pete Ellis and Longview, needmoreroasters.com.
These mushrooms are considerably more flavored than regular button mushrooms, so they can stand on their own a lot better. I just don't think they need as many ingredients paired with them.
Chef Jeff Finch is talking about chanterelles. And he's right. His basic preparation with salt and butter is just out of this world. But then he takes it to the next level with a frittata. These recipes coming up on Earth Eats. I'm Annie Corrigan, and it is chanterelle day. We chat with a local farmer forager who drops off a big batch of the mushrooms to King Doe's Adam Sweet. And then it takes a keen eye to do Marty Crouch's job. We re-air a conversation with her from last year as she inspects every last mushroom for sale at the farmer's market. We have so much mushroomy goodness this week that we gave Mark, Chad, and Taylor of our news blog the week off. But of course, there are news stories posted at eartheats.org. Now, the latest from Harvest Public Media, schools in rural school districts often don't have the budget or the teachers to offer students all of the courses they'd like to take. Christopher Husted visited one rural district in Missouri trying to fix that problem.
Tucked away in Jefferson County in the eastern part of Missouri, at the meeting of State Highway C and State Highway Y, sits Grandview High School.
Which is out in the middle of nowhere.
And Grandview Middle School.
Literally in the woods.
And Grandview Elementary School.
In a place where you can't buy a gallon of milk or a gallon of gas.
That's Matt Zoff, the superintendent of the district. He oversees about 750 students and 65 teachers. Half of his students qualify for the free and reduced lunch program. Enrollment is down, budgets are tight, and he has trouble attracting and retaining teachers.
We're the lowest paid school district, minus one K-8 district. So I'm asking my teachers to do a lot more on a lot less.
That means he may not have enough teachers for every course. Take physics, for example. Yeah, physics.
I may have two or three kids, because we're such a small school, that are interested in taking a physics course. So to offer physics on campus would be tough.
Think lab equipment, textbooks, and the limited number of qualified teachers in town.
But I can take those two or three kids, put them in a study hall and assign them physics, and they can take it online.
Online classes. The Grandview District teamed up with a private company to launch a virtual public summer school for its rural students to give them course options they don't normally see during regular registration. About 200 students enrolled the first year. Similar programs exist in Colorado and Iowa. The headquarters of Missouri's virtual summer school is just past the football field here in a building backed up against the tree line.
Right now, as you can see, I have like 17% that's high performing.
Elaine Schlett runs Missouri's virtual summer school program. Today, she's clicking away on her laptop to check students' progress. Three pie charts pop up on her screen.
I have 59 that's kind of iffy. Pacing risk because they consider speeding or going through it too quick or that. And then I have about 24% that's behind.
Courses include French 2, archaeology, and advanced placement calculus. Students can log in, do their required lessons, and interact with their teachers, all online. Some of them do it from home. Others, without internet, can come take their courses in the library. The courses count toward graduation, just like any other. And this summer, more than 1,300 students are enrolled. Now, students in rural districts across the state use it.
We almost double every year, enrollment-wise. I mean, we get them from way down in Walnut Grove to Eminence to anywhere in the state. You know, little rural towns you don't hear of very often. It's like, that's a new one this year, you know.
Superintendent Matt Zoff says people often have a misconception of the potential of rural students.
I think they look at the rural student as, kind of a hillbilly hick, that they don't want to succeed, they don't want to take those courses, you know, because we're not going to offer, you know, what the Golden Ring in St. Louis offers.
Online classes are not a fit in all cases. There are questions about quality of the curriculum or the lack of face-to-face interaction with teachers, concerns about students absorbing the material and doing the work. But for his district and his students, Zoff says it's an option that gives them the best chance to succeed with limited resources.
Because there are so few teachers, there are so few students, and most of the time the schools can't offer the courses that everybody else has taken, so using them to compete, I think, is only fair.
Like any other superintendent, he's looking to give the kids in his district a new opportunity. Christopher Husted, Harvest Public Media.
This story is part of the special series United and Divided, which explores the links and rifts between rural and urban America. Listen to more at harvestpublicmedia.org. Hot and humid and rainy and just gross right now in Indiana. It's not a fun time for us, but the Chanterelles love it. Inside two very powerfully air-conditioned Bloomington restaurants, chefs are creating special dishes to feature these wild mushrooms. First at King Dough, their special wood-fired pizza with chanterelles is called the Fancy Dad.
We actually just ate the pizza as well. Oh, it was amazing.
Farmer Salem Willard was there for lunch, and he's actually responsible for the special ingredient on that pizza. He runs Bread and Roses Gardens.
One day I was just walking on the road, and I saw some of the orange mushrooms there on the hillside, and I realized it's chanterelle season, and I just had completely forgotten because the last few years I hadn't really seen any.
Michael Whistler helps out at Bread and Roses.
It felt like striking gold, pretty much, you know, for young farmers and farmhands that can use any extra dollars that they can find. It's about the quickest way to make a little extra cash, and it's fun too because you're just hiking through the woods.
They've sold produce to King Dough since the restaurant opened a year ago. Salem will send head pizza guy Adam Sweet texts every week to set up the restaurant's orders of heirloom tomatoes and herbs and other farm fresh ingredients. But this one was a special text.
Yeah, when I told him, I was like, hey, Adam, I think there's going to be a lot of chanterelles in the next couple of weeks. Are you interested? He said, absolutely.
Yeah, whenever he called me up, I was just like, immediately the wheels started turning, like, what can we do with this?
Sweet is also a co-owner. He's standing next to their wood-fired oven that's blazing away at 800 to 1,000 degrees.
Just thinking of what is in season right now or what we have just like in stock in the restaurant that we need to get rid of, and we actually had quite a bit of pancetta from Smoking Goose. It was like, you know, perfect. These delicious, chewy mushrooms and these salty, salty pancetta.
Throw some sage on there and three types of cheese, and you have one of their most popular specials ever. Whether it's their basic margarita pizza or this fancy dad, every pie starts with the dough. Sweet says the crunch, the shape, and the taste of these wood-fired pizzas begin and end with how you treat the dough.
Cool. All right, so first off, let's take our dough out, and this is one of those funny things where people that don't deal with this sort of dough, they're kind of rough with it. You got to really just like baby it 100% all the way through. I mean, you've basically started making this 48 hours ago. Like, why would you be rough with it now? This is your baby. Like, treat it like a baby. Be delicate with it. So you just got to like keep it as round as you possibly can. Making an attempt not to touch the crust so that you get that nice puff on it. So basically you're touching everything but the actual lip of it. And from there, you kind of like, you let gravity do all the work. You just kind of let it rest on the back of your thumb and just gently pull with your other hand. Throw it on the table here. First thing we're gonna throw on this pizza is the bechamel sauce, which is essentially it's a cream sauce, it's a mother sauce in France. Then we're gonna throw some of our fresh mozz, which was made probably yesterday morning. And some of Salem's beautiful heirloom tomatoes as well. And this is kind of a Salem-centric pizza here. So those guys on there, and we have to cut these up basically to order, since, you know, heirlooms are so delicate. It's just another one of those things. We only have them for a minute. Why beat them up? Like, take care of it, and, you know, make sure they're as beautiful and delicious as they can possibly be. And with the chanterelles. The chanterelles, since they are going into our oven, which is about 1,000 degrees, they're only going to get about 2 minutes to cook. So we pre-cook them a little bit. Just salt, sea salt, olive oil. And from here, I'm just going to place, you just throw it in there. So it's rising just a little bit. Baby it. Give it a little counterclockwise spin and look at the bottom of it. And what you're looking for is definitely a little bit of the char. That's the the beautiful characteristic of these sort of pizzas.
Oh yeah, we're getting some bubbles.
That's it, the pizza's done at that point. We're there already. This is how you know if we did a good job. We get a nice crunch whenever we cut the pizza open. Oh yeah, I think we got a winner here.
Sprinkle of Parmesan cheese, and it's off to the table. By the way, the name of that pizza, the Fancy Dad, came from a customer. Adam says one of the hardest things about making special pizzas so often is coming up with names. So if someone thinks this pizza is for a fancy dad, then so it is. Sweet served this to a very special guest recently. Chef Jeff Finch operates a restaurant just down the street from King Dough. And he's Sweet's former boss. Adam actually got his first taste of chanterelles when he worked in Finch's kitchen.
He came in and he ordered a root beer, and we were out of root beer. So I just dropped everything. I was like, give me 1 minute. And I ran down to Black's and bought a couple bottles of root beer, like brought it back and like sent it tableside, like a bottle of root beer with a glass of ice. Like, there you go, chef.
You'll notice that I now have a chanterelle mushroom pizza as well, because it was so good. I just hadn't done it yet this year.
That is Chef Jeff Finch of Finch's Brasserie. His chanterelle pizza has Cherokee purple tomatoes, bacon, arugula, and gorgonzola. On the table in the back of his kitchen is a big box of still dirty, bright orange mushrooms.
We got these chanterelles in yesterday. This is about 12 pounds of fresh chanterelle mushrooms. We haven't done much with them, except put them in a container. This is about a week's worth. We'll get more the beginning of next week.
He got that guarantee from his mushroom guy, a forager with whom he's worked for years. But when we're talking about wild foods, a guarantee only goes so far. Finch says he never really knows how many chanterelles will come through the door.
Generally, we won't put it on the printed menu. Just for that reason, because who knows? It's hard to plan around Mother Nature. I can get chanterelles from the Pacific Northwest, from Europe. There's seasons all around the world, but the further away they come, the more expensive they are. So I don't really like to do it. It doesn't exactly follow our philosophy.
His cooking focuses on seasonal foods from local growers whenever possible. There's a mild, nutty flavor in the mushrooms he wants to highlight. Not just almonds, but like almond milk. The trick is to not mask that with too many bells and whistles, he says.
These mushrooms are considerably more flavored than regular button mushrooms, so they can stand on their own a lot better. I just don't think they need as many ingredients paired with them.
So let's get as stripped down as possible with these chanterelles. All you'll need is oil, salt and pepper, and butter.
What I like to do simply, quickly, we can eat them immediately, is get a pan pretty hot, about 2 ounces of oil. And the thing about cooking mushrooms is when you want to sear them, or when you just want to cook them in general, I don't like to crowd the pan, because what'll happen is all the water will come out and they'll just kind of simmer in their own juice, which I don't prefer. So our pan is good and hot. We'll add handful, but not a giant handful, just enough to cover the bottom of the pan. And then, patient. We watch. We wait. So once our edges are starting to brown, we'll give it a quick toss, and then we'll let that side brown, maybe arranging the mushrooms just a little bit back into that single layer if we need to. At this point, I'll add a little bit of salt and a little bit of pepper. Give it a quick toss. And then I'll just turn it down because I'm gonna add a little bit of butter and I don't want the butter to burn. The pan's pretty hot. Give it a stir. And really, we're just stirring it until the butter is incorporated to the mushrooms and just kind of coats the mushrooms. That's really all they need. Gosh, those look good. I want to eat them. I said, those look good. I want to eat them.
I had these conversations with Jeff Finch and Adam Sweet last year around this time. These dishes are probably not still on their restaurant menus, but they are definitely still on our website for you to make at home. Check out eartheats.org. Coming up, more with Jeff Finch. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Charles Schwab & Company Incorporated, with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. Urgent Foods, a locally owned food truck offering gourmet choices for all lifestyles, tastes, and diets, from vegetarian to paleo and low carb. Taste matters, your taste. Current truck location is available at whereisurgent.com. And Elizabeth Rue, enrolled agent and owner of Personal Financial Services, providing tax preparation for individuals and businesses, located on the Beeline Trail. More information at personalfinancialservices.net. Hey, I'm Annie and this is Earth Eats. Have you seen chanterelles for sale at your farmer's market yet? The season is short, so get them while you can. Last year, I visited Bloomington's farmer's market to learn how they ensure that each mushroom the vendors sell is what they say it is. Because, you know, there are lookalikes out there in the woods that are definitely not edible. It's the expertise of one woman that keeps shoppers safe. Before vendors can sell any wild mushrooms at the Bloomington Community Farmers Market, they have to be checked and approved by Marty Crouch. She's served as the mushroom inspector at the market for 20 years. She pulls on a pair of blue gloves 1 hour before customers arrive, and she starts roaming the market looking for wild mushrooms to inspect.
Good morning, Marty Crouch. Nice to meet you.
I know, on the back side.
Yeah, those are a little old.
I knew they were.
It was the first Saturday in August when I joined her. She started her work a bit earlier than usual because there were so many vendors wanting to sell chanterelles that day.
They come up in mid to late July is the peak, and it depends on how hot and humid it is. They like it really hot and humid. And, you know, consistent rains, and we're having one of those really wet Julys. I'd say this is a 1 in 10 year chanterelle season. Really good. I'm going to look through these. I have to confirm that every single one of the individual mushrooms is a chanterelle and not another species of mushroom.
Every single one?
Yeah. You'll notice that the backs of these mushrooms look like they have little folds instead of knife-edge gills like a mushroom that you'd find in the grocery store. The poisonous look-alike is called a jack-o'-lantern mushroom. It's also orange, about this color. It's also kind of vase-shaped, comes up at the same time of year, but it has knife-edge gills instead of folds. These all look good. Let's go over here and look at Sean.
Sean Breeden-Ost is standing behind his table with his son, Glenn. They have 6 pounds of chanterelles and a couple paper grocery sacks.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good.
They foraged these yesterday. When I asked Sean what it's like to find a big batch of chanterelles growing in the woods, he let out this low growl.
It's like Christmas. It is. It's exciting, and it's you kind of lose track of time.
Marty gives a thumbs up, and we walk to John Allen Flynn's table.
Got any today?
Yeah, I've got some.
These mushrooms are bigger and thicker than what we've looked at so far. Jackpot this week.
Well, jackpot the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, look at all. He's got oodles and gobs, too.
How long are you expecting the season to go on?
Well, probably another week or two, right, Marty?
If it rains.
Yeah, if it rains.
The more miserable you are, the happier they are.
Yeah, you get drenched just walking around the woods.
Ticks.
Oh, yeah, spiders are real bad. Yeah, that sticky sticks to your neck, and you can't get it out of your hair. And
watch for snakes.
Sounding worse and worse.
Well, it ain't all that bad.
In addition to the chanterelles, he's selling wild oyster mushrooms. Marty inspects these, too.
Those are pretty.
So these oyster mushrooms, the mycelium grows through the wood. The chanterelles grow on the ground, but their mycelium is connected to the roots of trees. So they're mycorrhizal, and people haven't figured out how to cultivate them. Whereas these oyster mushrooms and other mushrooms that grow within trees, a lot of them have been cultivated. Okay, these look good. The wild mushrooms, they all have insects growing in them, every one of them.
To be expected.
And, yes, and they add to the nutrition of the mushroom, but I would always cook mushrooms because of that, wild mushrooms. Got any today?
Marty Crouch retired as the market's mushroom inspector after last year. Now it's Sean Breeden Ost's job. Check out pictures of Marty's blue gloves holding the bright orange chanterelles. They're posted in the new podcast post. Now, back to Finch's Brasserie.
So we recently started doing brunch, and for me, chanterelle mushrooms and brunch just go great. You ask what kind of things pair really well with mushrooms, especially chanterelles, eggs. Eggs. So we make a chanterelle mushroom leek and local chèvre cheese frittata, which I will make for you right now. And so since we're making a frittata, which is a little bit different than an omelet, we'll start with our ingredients as opposed to our egg, which is the main ingredient, because we're going to want to cook them a little bit before we add the egg. These chanterelle mushrooms are a little different from the ones that you saw earlier. We've picked through them, we've brushed off as much of the dirt as we can, and a lot of times they come in really large, so we tend to break them up into smaller pieces depending on the use. For a frittata, we want them a little bit smaller just because it's easier to eat. And so we'll add a handful of these, not being too stingy, because like I said, it's a good season for them. We're just going to cook these mushrooms and leeks until they start to wilt a little bit. And then we're going to add 3 eggs. So I'm just stirring this a little bit. And we're going to add a little bit of parsley. And then before we put it in the oven, we'll just put a little bit of Capriole chèvre on it. We'll just sprinkle that on. That way, as the eggs finish cooking, the cheese melts in. And so we're going to put that in the oven for about 3 or 4 minutes at 350 degrees, just until the eggs are set and the cheese has melted a little bit. While that is in the oven, let's see, we'll make a pasta, because that's pretty quick. We do a lot of pastas here.
This pasta requires a little work ahead of time. Keep an ear out for Finch's corn stock and roasted heirloom tomato puree. Oh, and orecchiette is a kind of pasta that looks like little ears. All right, here we go.
So again, heat your pan, get it good and hot. We have about a tablespoon of oil. We're gonna add a healthy handful of these chanterelle mushrooms, probably about a cup, to a nice hot pan. I wanna try and get those to sear a little bit in our hot oil. A lot of new cooks and a lot of home cooks, what they tend to do is move the ingredients in the pan too much. They always wanna mess with it, which I understand. I wanna mess with it too, but experience has taught me not to mess with it. It's as fast as we need to be in cooking, there's a lot of patience involved as well.
I just want to jostle it.
Not yet. So we can see the mushrooms start to brown at the edges. Once I see that is when I'll jostle it. So we can see that we're getting a little bit of sear. We just toss them once to kind of flip them so we can start to sear on the other side. So that's a fair amount of time. We'll add our leeks. Give those a stir.
Oh wow, those mushrooms are brown.
Yes. We're caramelizing the sugars that are in there, basically. Makes them a little bit richer, just adds another element of flavor. We're gonna add about a quarter cup of sugar snap peas. Give that a stir. We're gonna add just a little bit of white wine. And that's just basically, we call it deglazing. We wanna get any of the food particles that have attached themselves to the bottom of the pan, and also with a little bit of white wine, we're adding a little bit of acid to the dish. Once that wine is pretty much reduced, we're going to add an ingredient that we use a lot around here this time of year, and it's corn stock. So basically, we make a regular vegetable stock, only we add a lot of corn kernels, and then we also add corn cobs. So we're going to add some cherry tomatoes. And we're going to add a little bit of roasted tomato puree that I have here. This is from roasted heirloom tomatoes that we cook in our wood-fired oven. And then we're just gonna add a little bit of butter. And so once our butter's fairly well incorporated, we're gonna take our orecchiette and add a handful of that. This is pre-cooked. We cook it ahead of time and cool it. So when we get orders during service, it's a lot quicker. We don't have time to cook pasta to order, so now is all we need to do is heat that pasta. We're gonna add a little bit of local arugula to finish it. And when I add greens to a dish like this, I don't like them to wilt all the way through. I like them still to have a little bit of their body and a little bit of their shape. So we'll just give that a quick toss just to get that warmed up, and then we're ready to put it in a dish.
Jeff Finch puts that plate down and shifts his attention back to the oven.
Now, while it's gone well, our frittata is finished cooking. So our eggs are set, the cheese has melted in just enough, looks pretty because of the chanterelles and the parsley.
And you've got two great brunch recipes. Big thanks to both Jeff Finch and Adam Sweet. These recipes were originally recorded last year. Yes, we put the recipes on our website, and yes, there are pictures. Go now to eartheats.org. Our team is Aabon Binder, Chad Bouchard, Mark Chilla, Taylor Killo, Farm Bloomington Restaurant, Indiana University's Food Institute, and Harvest Public Media. John Bailey is our executive producer. Production support for Earth Eats comes from Needmore Coffee Roasters, a woman-owned coffee bar and roastery dedicated to roasting organic, direct trade, and fair trade coffee from small-scale farmers around the world. On the east side of Bloomington, corner of Pete Ellis and Longview, needmoreroasters.com. And Charles Schwab & Company Incorporated, with a local branch on Morton Street in Bloomington. Independent branch leader Jeremy Zeichner, CFP, offers personalized financial plans matched to investors' goals. More at schwab.com/Bloomington. All right, y'all, we're out of here. Hope to see you next time. I'm Annie Corrigan.